RadioArchives.com presents The White Witch, An Adventure of the Black Bat by G. Wayman Jones, read by Milton Bagby. Out of the night comes a menacing winged figure, the Black Bat. Blind District Attorney Tony Quinn takes his battle for justice from the courtrooms to the streets, prowling the city skyline as the Black Bat. His prey, criminals who live beyond the reach of the law. Masked, cloaked like a gigantic bat, and able to see in pitch darkness, the Black Bat is assisted by hulking Butch O'Leary and former con man Silk Kirby, as well as the resourceful Carol Baldwin, the daughter of the lawman who donated his eyes so that Tony Quinn could resume his war against the underworld. A war to the death, fought with scientific skill and blazing .45 automatics. Operating outside the law, the Black Bat is relentlessly hounded by Police Captain McGrath, who suspects that the blind DA is really the human bat who breaks laws in order to uphold justice. And now, the Black Bat's thrilling adventure, The White Witch. Chapter 1. Power. It was a select gathering which filled the theater to greet Jules Ledoux. This was no ordinary performance or lecture. It was a test, or a proof, of sheer power. On the stage were four gently swinging trapezes, nothing else. Brilliant lights flooded the stage and audience. Two white-bearded scientists stood at the back of the theater talking quietly.
"I do not believe it," one said.
"Jules Ledoux is only seeking publicity for his cult, or whatever he calls it."
"Perhaps," the other shrugged. "There is also his castle at Lime Rock, which must cost a pretty penny. The audience is here tonight strictly by invitation. But if some of the people present can be convinced Ledoux is as great as he claims to be, there will be plenty of money."
"It is sheer nonsense," the first scientist scoffed. "Ledoux is said to have the power to compel anyone to do almost anything. That is hypnotism, out-and-out hypnotism."
"Unless his victims do something which is wholly against their nature," said his companion. "A hypnotized person will not murder anyone, for instance, unless he is a murderer at heart. We shall see."
They walked down the aisle and took their seats. Two other men who had been standing close by had listened to every word. One of these was brand-new District Attorney Paul Cordray. He was white-haired, handsome, and on the stuffed shirt side. His companion reeked detective, from square-toed shoes to the derby clamped securely on his head and his well-groomed mustache. In his pocket was a badge labeled Captain of Detectives. His name was McGrath.
"It's bunk, D.A.," Captain McGrath said. "Clear bunk."
Paul Cordray favored McGrath with a frown.
"Please address me as Mr. Cordray or Mr. District Attorney. Remember that, Captain."
Yes, sir," McGrath gulped. "What do you think of this guy Ledoux? Is he a crook?"
"That is what we have come to find out, Captain. Leave the brain work to me. I brought you along only to make an arrest if I deem it advisable. Otherwise, please be quiet."
McGrath said something under his breath and thought back upon other district attorneys he'd like to work with. Certainly, Cordray was not going to make any deep impression upon the police department. A brass gong sounded with such volume that everyone grimaced. Then a short, rotund man stepped from the wings and walked to the center of the stage.
"Ladies and gentlemen," he said, "the performance is about to begin. I am David Hoffman, manager for Mr. Jules Ledoux. Believe me, what you see will amaze you no less than it has amazed me. You have been invited because of your intelligence."